he turned. He put his attention not on his problem. Don't put your attention on your problem. Don't keep telling everybody about your problem. Everybody listen to your problem, but everybody can't help your problem. Tell Jesus about your problem. Tell God about your problem. He's on the main line. He wants to hear about your problem. He's the only one that can fix your problem. So he turned himself and took his mind off his problems. He regarded or started considering somebody that was more important than my problem. You got to turn and consider somebody that you can talk to that's greater than your problem, bigger than your problem. You know, he turned to somebody that was more important than somebody that had authority, somebody that had power, somebody that had dominion. He started thinking about this God that we talk about, this God that we testify about. He's got the power, he's got the authority, and he has all dominion over all your problems. All we got to do is just turn and seek God. And so don't let your circumstances and your situations make you feel like a grasshopper, like you can't get this thing done. No, you can't get it done. I can't get it done. You can't get it done, but we can get it done with Jesus, because with Christ, we can get all things done. We're more than conquerors. But when he took his mind off his problem and started thinking about God and let me pray and talk to my God, every problem that we take to God is so small and minute to God. God can handle any big problem that we call big, but when you match it up to God, it's so small. Cancer is small. Diabetes is small. Anything that you can name, you put it up against God, is small. There is no match. There is no equal to God. So make yourself feel big by serving this big and great and mighty God. Because everything is small in his eyes. It's a light thing. That's what he told. That's what Hezekiah said. He said, well, man of God, I will. And if you make the hand go forward, we know that's a light thing, because we know time goes forward. But let's see if the clock goes backwards a few degrees. And he said, that's a light thing for God too. What's hard for God to do? God can make the clock go forward, and he can make it go backwards. He can make the sun stand still, and he can stop the rain. He can bring the rain. What's too hard for God? Ain't nothing too hard for God. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice when somebody called a fast, prayer? This Bible says that Judah gathered themselves together to ask help. And it says, even out of all of the cities. Wouldn't it be nice if all the cities of St. Charles, all the cities in Missouri come together and seek God before we get another tragedy, before another 9/11 happened? The churches got full during that time. You know, wasn't nobody mad at nobody. It didn't make no difference what the denomination you was. If it was a spot in a church that was open, they was going to that church. You know, we ain't got to wait for God to do that no more. But it seemed like God got to allow something like that to happen again to get our attention. And so he said, all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gave us it to a seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then wilt thou hear and help. Here it is. He's saying, look, ain't you the God that created the heavens and the earth? Ain't you the God that was befriended Abraham forever and gave his seed? Ain't you a God that caused Solomon to build this church? And if we get in any problem, if sword come up against us, if judgment, if pestilence come up on us, if famine, if we stand in this house, there's a lot of people think that they don't have to come to the house of God no more. A lot of people think that they, well, you can. But the Bible says that if we stand in this house, this sanctuary, so everybody ain't gonna come together out there in the street. Everybody ain't gonna get on the Zoom call. Everybody ain't gonna get on the Facebook. But everybody can come to the house of God. Get on that one accord and begin to seek and call on God. He will show us great and mighty things that we know not. He will answer us early in the morning. God will be with us late in the midnight hour. So the Bible said that they came together in the house. And he said, if evil come up on us, I don't know about nobody else, there's so much evil coming up on this earth. Every time you turn on the news, you ain't got to turn on the news. Some of us, you can walk out of your front door and you see evil. You know, evil is there before me all the time. You know, judgment, pestilence. We got all of this stuff that's going on. They say this stuff just won't go away. Famine, people can't find no food on the shelves, I'm hearing, in some states. And he said, now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. It is God was bringing Israel out of Egypt. And they was going by the way of this nation here, the Ammonites. And God told them, don't bother the Ammonites. Leave them alone. Now here the Ammonites are coming against them, so they didn't leave them alone. Said, now look, you know, since we didn't do nothing to them, now they coming up on us, God. What's wrong with that? You know, sometimes you feel like you just, when you have to get the devil, get him. Don't wait till tomorrow. If something's going on today, get him while you can, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to be. But God said, look, this battle is not yours, not this one here. He said, behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of our possession, which thou hast given us to inherit it. Our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great army that come against us. Neither we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And he said, look, we don't know what to do. We got this great army coming against us. When the troubles and the cares of life start stirring up in your life, you have to look for God. You have to look to God and keep your eyes upon him. He said he's going to bring you out of your problems and out of your situations that you're going. He said, look, we got a great company coming up on us. Great multitude of problems. There's a great multitude of trials and tests coming up on you, but you don't know what to do sometimes. But he said, my eyes are up on you. Our eyes are up on you. Keep your eyes up on the Lord. And he said, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Medaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here it is, the son of Jehaziel. All of these names, these Jehaziel, Zechariah, Benaniah, Jeiel, Medaniah, these were Levites. These were priests. The Spirit of God came up on this Levite. A Levite. The word came from a priest. Don't you know that you are a priest? The Spirit of the Lord can come up on you too and speak a word to you too. You know, we are royal priesthood. We have a royal priesthood. We are kingly people. And said that a word came to him. The word is going to come to the priest, the children of God. He said they were in church and the word came to them. And Jezreel means God sees. The word of the Lord came up on Jezreel and he began to speak to the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem. He says the Lord sees. That's what Jezreel means. He sees what he was trying to tell Hezekiah and the children of Israel. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. Everything else that the devil throws at you. God sees what we are going through. Don't think that you're going through something today that God don't see. God sees your struggles. God sees your hurt. God sees you trying to get from here to there. God sees all of this. He sees what the devil is doing. God sees it all. So the word of the Lord came up on him and he began to prophesy to the people. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Don't you be afraid what's going on. Don't be scared what's going to come up on this earth. Don't be scared what you're going through in your body. Don't be afraid what your children are up against. Don't be afraid of none of that stuff. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't let nothing unsettle you. Stand still and see what God wants to do. He said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not fight. Ye shall not need to fight this battle, nor set or position yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He said, look, you need not to fight this battle. This battle don't belong to you, not this battle. He said, this battle, he said, you don't need to fight it. He said, look, stand still and position yourself. Sometimes we're out of position with God. He said, stand still and position yourself. Set yourself in a place. Set your mind in a place. Set your spirit in a place. He said, position yourself. For this battle, you need not to fight. He said, just be still. Sometimes you just got to position yourself. Sometimes you just got to, Lord, you said this thing belonged to you. You know, sometimes you just be in the store. I be in the store sometimes and things come across my mind that my children are going through and things are not going right with this person over in my wife's family, this person, this family, stuff all over. And then a word come to you, just position yourself. Say, that's right, Lord. You said this. Sometimes you just got to position yourself and be still and let God. He said, be still and see the salvation of God. We can't see his salvation because we're not set. We're not in position. We're moving around too much. We ain't seeing God. We over here. The devil do something to you. Run over here. He do something to you over there. You run over there. You all over the place. You got to be still. He says, stand still and see the salvation, Lord. God trying to show you something. He's trying to show you great and mighty things that you know not. You just got to believe God. My sister called me the other day and she said she'd been struggling. I was telling Brother Joe and him, she'd been struggling with some issue. Y'all have heard this story before that they said that we had from our father. It was passed down to us, some kind of blood disorder. And she'd been struggling with this thing for a long time, her and a few of my other siblings. And how they got this thing, I believe they accepted it. Because when my dad was in the hospital, they diagnosed him with some kind of blood disorder, and they come with this long pamphlet. All this stuff for talking about what's going to happen. This what you got because it's genetically born and all of this stuff. And so they started passing that stuff around in the hospital room. And when they got to me, I just kept my hands behind my back and I just looked at them. And so they said, here, old man. I said, I didn't say nothing. I just shook my head. And so she said, oh, okay. We know. I'm thinking to myself, you supposed to know too. You are supposed to know. Now what you have done, you have declared sickness over your body. You have accepted what the devil said you have. My Bible tells me, I don't know about the Bible that you read, it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. What mom and daddy had don't belong to me. That belonged to them. That belonged to the world. All things become new. Everything that God has for me is becoming new to me now. Healing is becoming new. Deliverance is going to be new to me because I never knew about no healing. I've always run to the doctor. So a new thing's going to happen to you. A new thing is going to happen. I had just spoke a word to my other niece. Was talking to me about some situations. I said, God finna start doing something miraculous. God finna start doing things that we ain't seen or heard about yet. And then this sister called and told me that testimony that the doctors checked her again. Her A1C was up to 15, which it has never been. And she said the doctor looked at her and said, wait a minute, what's going on? And it started my sister. My sister said, what happened? What is going on? She said, it's up to a 15. My sister said, well, is that good? Is that bad? Where it's supposed to be? She said, normal is between 13 and 15, what she told me. And so the doctor was puzzled. She was puzzled. So the doctor said, you got to come back next week. We got to do some more tests. And so my sister left out of there rejoicing. So she said, I had to call and tell you. And I said, thank you for letting me know so I can rejoice with you. Look, God, this battle don't belong to you. She said she just stood on the word of God. And the word that was given to her was, by his stripes, I am healed. She said, Freddie, every day, every morning, I would get up and say, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Look, by his stripes, you are healed. Not were healed, you already healed. Not going to be healed, you are already there. You just got to stand on the word of God. This battle don't belong to you. Learn to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's his battle. He know how to fight the devil. He kicked him out of heaven in the first place. Whooped him up and beat him down. Boom. Got him so good, the Bible says it went out like lightning. Come on, man. I can't whoop nobody like that. Come on. He says, set yourself. So you got to position yourself. You know, you got to rearrange the way you think. You got to rearrange the way you walk this life. You know, the devil jump on us. He get on us a little bitty thing. We got to head down. You know, here's something else. He's really getting down. Here's something else. He's really getting down. He's supposed to be under our feet. I say, put your feet on the devil's neck. Put it on his head. Our heel is supposed to bruise his head. You ain't supposed to be down there. He didn't say you was going to be crawling on your belly. He said the devil was going to be down there. But we let the devil rise up against us and take over us. Position yourself. Set yourself. Get a new mind. The mind of Christ. And the Bible says in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Sometimes it's just got to be loud. You know, sometimes you just got to be loud. You know, you stood up. You go to some churches, they quiet. Sometimes we can get quiet. We just got to, when God speak a word, we just got to give him some praise. We just got to lift him up. We just got to give him the highest praise that we know. And that's hallelujah. He said that they praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. We just got to give God some praise. We need to stop and pause right now and just give him some praise right now for what he already done, what he's going to do. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He just spoke a word. He already said, this battle don't belong to you. It is the Lord's battle. It's his fight. Let me fight it, he said. I know where to hit the devil. You know, I know which side to hit him on. I know what side to step. I can sidestep him on the left and hit him with a left hook. I can stand him, jab him. God know what to do with this devil. Sometimes we don't know which way the devil coming at us, but we know that he's all around us. But he can't do nothing with you. If God be for you, then he's more than the whole world against you. Ain't no devil in hell. No spirit walking around here that can do nothing with you. You belong to God. I'm going to jump down to verse 22. And when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Oh, Lord, what did he say? And when they begin to sing, and when they begin to praise, see, that's something that we got to do to set an ambushment. The Lord set an ambushment. Well, God is telling us that we got to set an ambushment. An ambushment is, definition is a military definition. It's a positioning of a soldier in a concealed place in order to surprise and attack an enemy. You see, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. God has positioned you in a certain place that the devil don't even know where you at. Sometimes we got to be, all the time, God is telling us that we got to be so concealed and so positioned in a place of praise and worship. So when that devil pop up, he think you're down. You ever seen people in the stores? I've seen this down in the city stores. Well, somebody standing in line checking out, or in a grocery store, they all of a sudden just, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, just out of nowhere. And you just look. I believe that's that concealment God is telling us. That's that ambushment. The devil come up on you with some stuff. All you got to do is say, praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah anyhow. Thank you, Jesus. You just got to start worship him and praise him. That's an ambushment. Don't you know that the word of God is an ambushment? It's concealed inside you. The devil can't see the word in you. He don't know your thoughts. God said, I know your thoughts. He know what you're thinking. The devil come to try you. So he don't know what's inside of you. So when the devil come up on you, you got an ambushment inside. All you got to do is speak a word. Devil, the Lord rebuked you. By his stripes, devil, I am healed. I don't care what you say. See, sometimes he think he don't catch you off guard. You got to catch the devil off guard. Sometimes you got to get in your car or in your house. Well, Lord, bless your name anyway. You know, that's been my song, my theme song for the week. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus, I've been on the main line with Jesus. All week long, I've been on the main line with Jesus. I've been talking to my brothers and my sisters. I've been talking to my friends, but I'm on the main. Jesus is on this main line. I'm telling him what I want. He's listening. You know, that was enough. Back in the day when they had to pick up the phone, I found out they didn't have to dial no numbers. They had to pick up the phone and say, operator, connect me to Brother Joe. And everything that me and Brother Joe talked about, that operator heard. Don't you know Jesus the operator? Everything that we talk about, God hears about everything. God sees your struggle. God sees what you're going. He knows. He hears about everything that we talk about. But give it to him. The battle don't belong to you. God said he's going to set an ambushment for that devil. So the next time the devil come your way, you know you got an ambushment. And you got a word inside of you. I know you got a word inside of you. I hear you. If you ain't got no word, a word won't pop up. A song should pop up. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. All kind of songs start coming to you. The devil don't know what's inside of you. He didn't put it there. God knows what's inside. He wants you to use the word of God. So it says God set up an ambushment against the devil. You got to surprise the devil with a song. You got to surprise him with a praise. And you most definitely got to surprise him with a shout. So when you start confessing and declaring the word of God over your life, you got to confess and declare the word over your children. You got to confess and declare this word. This is the word. This is the God that we serve. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Start confessing and declaring the word. That is an ambushment against the devil. You know, I hear some people calling their kids all kind of names. you know. And I said, well, no, don't call them that. We had a couple over our house the other day. Says, well, she, I said, no, don't call them that. Well, she is. I said, no, she ain't. I said, how old is she? She two. I said, wasn't you two before? You know, you can't look and you know better than call the baby out of his name. Declare something better on the baby. The baby ain't acting right. Declare healing over that baby. Declare peace over that baby. Declare obedience over the baby. You're going to be good. We're talking about that this morning. You got to speak the right things. There's so much stuff that we can speak. The power of life and death lies in this tongue. But it is what it is. Right? That's what they say. It is what it is, Brother Al. But it ain't got to stay that way. Yes, that's a fact right there. But my Bible tells me I can declare healing. I can declare deliverance. I can declare whatever I desire and it shall be. We got to start declaring it. I know I'm supposed to do that, brother. I know, but it just don't look like they're going to do right. You know, looks are deceiving for you. You know, we can't see what God sees. We don't know what God knows. He sees way up. He didn't see me that way. He loved me on in. He drew me in by love and kindness. Well, God is not that great where he can't draw your so-called bad two-year-old kid and he's just getting started. He ain't even got started yet. Come on now. We can't put that on them babies. And we got to put something in them. We got to put some life in them. You got to put, and you'll know what's in them because what's in you going to come out. Most definite. You can't hide it. Sometimes some people don't want to say too much because they're scared they're going to say the wrong thing. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. You know, well, that's fine. Go and get it all out of your system. Keep asking God to get it out of your system. Maybe you won't have no more to say. You know, people use them cuss words. I didn't mean to say that. You know, you don't offend me. You know, I was like that, you know, driving down the street, said, Lord, I ain't listening to them no more rap. I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord. I ain't listening to no more Houdini, no more Boys to Men. I ain't listening to no more Run DMC, none of that. I'm going to show you what I mean, Lord. I'm throwing them out on the highway. I mean it, Lord. I miss that stuff. Went back home. Could you make me some Houdini tapes? Could you make me some Run DMC tapes? And I'm coming out here around here on Hopewell, listening to Run DMC, going to church. God help me, but that was my plea. Lord help me. You know I don't want to listen. This stuff is just embedded in you. It's got to get out of it, but God keep on working on you. He keeps working on you. He ain't going to leave you alone. He said, you engraved in the palm of my hand. You belongs to me, so I got to put the pressure on you. You know, that stuff going to get out of them. They ain't going to be what you thought they was going to be. God going to make them to what he want them to be. That's what he going to do. So you got to stand on the word of God and keep declaring and confessing the word of God. I've been doing it for years, Brother Al. Well, do it for a few more years if you have to. Do it for another 5 or 10 years, however long it take. You show God that, Lord, I'm standing on your word. 38 years this man waited. 12 years this woman spent all her money. She did everything she know to do. You just got to keep on waiting. Job said, I'm going to wait until my change come. All the days of my point of time. Said, though he slay me, I'm going through something. Y'all don't know about the trials, or you know about them, but you don't know how they feel. God ain't took everything from you. He says, but though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We got to trust God. I just don't feel good. This making me gonna lose my Christianity. Been there and said that. Jump down to verse 25, saints of God. 18. You got to surprise that devil. He don't know what's inside of you. Shoot. You know, man, you may not be able to sing real good. I know I can't sing. But I sure make a joyful noise. I'm waiting till Pastor come back because I got a song that I want her to hear. Sure do. We all know it. And I hope y'all come to help me sing it because we used to sing it in the choir. But hey, I'm making my joyful noise. That's all right. You can scratch me. Nope. Not Brother Al for song worship lead. Nope. Not for testimony. Nope. But God wants to hear from me. He loves my singing. I know he keep giving me songs. He keep giving them to me. They keep giving. If he didn't want to hear me sing, he wouldn't give me no songs. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say, Brother Al. You know, but my God, my Father loves me. He said, make that joyful noise. Sound like a cymbal. Squeak if you got to squeak. But Lord, whatever I'm doing it as unto you. Not them. I'm not no entertainer. I can't entertain you. We're supposed to be doing this unto God anyway. I think we need to be up here singing with no congregation out there. Because we're singing to God. That's just what I believe. And when we get through singing, we're going to be the congregation. We go out there and listen to pastor preach. But we're supposed to be doing something. I don't care if it's a few of us, the few that know how to sing, we need to be singing. We can't be waiting on sister and brother so-and-so. They ain't here. Well, maybe they'll be here next Sunday. Well, maybe they'll be here next Sunday. But we got to keep going on. And I think God is looking at that. And I don't think we're being faithful over the few. You know, we talk about being faithful over few, but I don't think we're being faithful over the few. You know, we got to ask God to stir us back up and get this thing going. God wants to see how true and faithful you really are. You know, I can talk a good game, but man, I got to put my money where my mouth is. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came. Now, let me go back. I'm going too far, y'all. We got to see what happened. I know y'all know the story. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in your Lord, in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. You say, believe. That's what we tell them. We're trying to encourage one another. I ain't got a whole lot of faith, but what little bit I got, I thank God for people coming here, stirring me up, encouraging me with the word or with a prophetic word. Brother came and gave me a word, and I'm still standing on that word. I'm still standing on that word. You know, so believe, he said, believe the Lord your God. So shall you be established. You know, you're going to be set in your mind. You're going to be content because you believe in your God and believe his prophets, and you're going to prosper. And when he had consulted with the people and appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. See, it wasn't even an army that did it. And to say, praise the Lord for his mercy and do it forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, and when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Here it is. It wasn't even the army. They say the singers went in front of the armies. That's why God said, you got an army. We got the best army. I think we got one of the best armies in the world. United States, of course, my kids think so anyway. They think United States cannot be touched because we got this, we got that over there. Dad, you just don't know what they got concealed over there. You know, they got stuff over here, Dad. You know, I mean, they got all. But God ain't looking at what we got. He ain't looking at this army because hey, you push them buttons can fail. You know, you can have a outage somewhere. You know, those things, we don't depend on those things. The Bible said the singers and the praisers went before the army. And that was Judah. Judah was that was the battle. They was the fighter. So he said the singers and the praisers went before the army. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to destroy to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy them one another. Here it is. After they went out singing and praising, The army didn't have to do nothing. They probably had chairs and just sitting on their horses, laying back. Here it is, the people are praising and worshiping God. And the Bible says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. Two armies stood up against one and destroyed that one. And when they destroyed that one, you know, the singing and the praises, they start coming against one another and start destroying one another. The praises, that song that we sing, the praise of God, it truly does confuse the enemy. He don't know what else to do with you. When he think you're supposed to be hung low and all dried out and all cried out, you singing and praising, going through your test, going through your trial, going through the fire, the devil don't know what else to throw at you. You know, submit yourself to God's praises. Submit yourself to his worship. Resist the devil and the devil gonna flee. That's what the Bible says. You ain't supposed to be running nowhere. He told you to stand and see my salvation. Don't be running. How you going to see what God going to do in your back turn running? You know, you can't see nothing God did. And when you stop and turn around, what happened? Mother, what happened back there? Oh, we was back there singing and praising last Sunday. You know, and Friday, we just decided to come on Friday. We just decided to just come Friday and just sing and praise God. And then God came in with an ambushment and this happened. Chains fell off over there. This fell off over here. My kid got saved, Brother Al. He talking about coming to all kind of stuff going to start happening. Everything going to start falling in place. The Bible says they came against one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude and behold, there they were dead bodies falling to the earth and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, and which they stripped off of themselves more than they can carry away. My God. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil in which it was. Look, the Bible says when they got to praising and worshiping God, Jehoshaphat looked over there and saw an abundance, both riches and dead bodies. God is telling us when we begin to praise and worship God, truly, truly praise and worship God, wherever you at, you praise and worship him here. When you get out of here, praise and worship him here. Because when you leave here, I'm sure your trials, your trouble, they probably going to go with you. They probably going to follow you right on in your car. But you still got to be able to lift up your hands, lift your heads up. If your eyebrows can't touch your hairline, just try to make them touch the hairline and say, Lord, I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to worship you anything. I need some music, Lord. That's what I'll be doing. I need some music. I need somebody to help me sing this song. I need to be lifted up. And the Bible says they found abundance of riches. When you begin to praise and worship God, you're going to find an abundance of joy. You're going to find abundance of peace. That peace that we talk about all the time that surpasses all understanding, you're going to find abundance in God. Because at his right hand, there are riches forevermore. So start praising the Lord. Start worshiping him. God is saying to you, you need not to fight this battle. Whatever that you're up against today, whatever came your way, whatever just popped up, or whatever that you've been in, Lord, this belongs to you. This battle is yours, Lord. Fight this battle for me. He said, I'm going to contend with them that contend with thee. That's what he said. Whoever fights you, they're going to be fighting me. And who can stand up against God? Who is mightier than God? We serve a mighty God. Who got a heavy voice in here? We serve a mighty God. He is mighty. All our problems are small. They ain't big for real. Our God is big. He said, you built me a house, Solomon, thank you. But Solomon knew his God. He said, even the heavens can't contain you, Lord. You're so big. Can't nothing. We can't put you in nothing. But God is so great to where he come on down to where we need him and he dwells inside of us. Ain't he a good God? He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. So Paul said, it's time for us to fight the good fight of faith. This is the fight that we're supposed to be fighting. We ain't supposed to be worrying about nobody. We're supposed to, look, my faith is in God. You be so bold, you be able to tell the doctor, sitting in the doctor's office, I'm trusting God. And I know they probably have the audacity to ask, well, why are you here? But I'm still trusting God. My sister used to tell her doctor all the time, God got me. She said, well, I understand that, Patricia. I bet she want to say, well, why are you sitting in front of me then? My God still got me. We go to doctors, but God got me. It's time to let your faith start fighting for you. When your faith fight for you, oh, man, faith will move mountains if you let your faith work. Faith will heal your body if you let your faith work for you. Faith will beat the devil down if you let your faith for you work for you. Let faith fight. Faith is the best fighter there is out there. Fight the good fight, Paul said. The good fight of faith. Trust God and believe God. Stand on his word. If you ain't got no word, get a word and stand on the word. Don't let the devil push you off. Don't you step off the word of God. You stand with the word of God. Because God had declared and God decreed that word. And he said his word should never fail. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But my word, if you got that word, rest assured that it's going to come to pass. I've heard this before, Brother Al. Well, hear it again. Hear it again, oh children of Israel, my brothers and sisters. Stand on the word of God. Somebody about to get off the word. Somebody about to walk away. Stand, be still, and let God fight this battle. Get you a song. Get into the praise mode. Get out of that droopy mode. Get into the praise mode. Don't you got a radio that got all these different modes, equalizers that they can give you more bass, more treble? Push you some buttons. Lord, I want to get loud, Lord. I feel like getting loud. You know, my wife put me out the house. Said, look, Al, could you please? And I look at it and I just keep on. The Lord is blessing me right now. I mean, help me. If I'm squeaking, I'm squeaking. But the Lord is blessing me. Man, can't you see? He woke me up, clothed me in my right mind. Got my mind off all of this problems, my children, and all of this stuff that can be eating at me. He's blessing me. I'm in a whole different state of mind right now. Don't try to take that from me. The devil try to take anything from you got from God. He don't want you to have nothing. He don't want you to have good health. He don't want you to have a peace of mind. He don't want you to be settled. He don't want nothing good for you. This battle is not yours. Whose battle is this? Wait a minute. What battle that you got belongs to you? None of them. I don't own none of me. Amen. I don't own none. I don't want none. Lord, do it for me. Well, God wants you to do something for yourself. Where that's written at? Well, you find that where it says he wants you to do something for yourself. All he wants me to do is trust him. Believe him. And we find that so hard to do sometimes. We do. Not you. We all do. Find ourselves in a place to where we got to be reminded. We got to be restored in the faith of God. Saints of God, that's what I come to tell you this morning. This battle is not yours. It belongs to God. Because if you keep fighting it, you ain't winning it. Ain't you tired of losing? Ain't you tired of getting beat down by the devil? You know, turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to God. And you come out on the winning side every time. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You are victorious. You are a winner. You're not a failure. You're not a loser. Man, heard somebody say, we already won, though we're fighting. Brother used to say, the fight was fixed. It was a fixed fight. God already said you're going to win. Just, you know, the devil might slap you a few times, but he declared in the beginning, at the end, you already won. So you ain't got to worry about this fight. Just go and walk the walk of faith. Don't worry about the devil. You know, you ain't got to have no towel to throw in. Throw it away. I ain't waving nothing but my hand to the Lord, devil. I'm going to lift up, as Peter said, holy hands everywhere. I'd rather that man lift up hands everywhere. So lift up your hands. Pick up your bowed down head. Raise your chin up. Square your shoulders. Position yourself for this blessing. I am, you know, God going to give us a crown. You know, you get those medals, them soldiers get, they be standing in line, they come over there and pin that stuff on their chest. God going to put a crown on your head. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. God is not finished with us yet. This battle is not mine. This battle is not mine. Brittany, this battle ain't none of yours. Them God's children. Them your little sisters and your little brothers. No matter what color they are. And I tell you, boy, God has really been using me on my job with this race barrier. I mean, man. And I just thank the Lord, too. Because, man, you have so many older people that are so foolish and still trying to divide. I mean, they're trying to divide. You got the guys that's older than I am, they're black, they're trying to divide. Guys on the white side, they're trying to divide. And my son just got hired. He just telling me all of this stuff. And I said, you just be who you supposed to be. I said, you discern and judge a person for who they are. I said, you grown man, you know how to do it. I said, well, Dad, that's what they say about you. I said, we don't know your dad. Never had no interaction with him at all. But one thing that we can say, which I don't know how they can say that you got a good father. He raised you right. The lady, his supervisor said, Al, whatever you did, you put some good work ethics in your children. Because he is working. And he won't turn no hole down. He wants to do them all. And say, no, you worked enough. But it's time for us to come together. You know, I want to be a part of the solution. Yes. Not the problem. I'm tired of all these problems. When I get to hearing that kind of stuff, I make up something or I say, Lord, help me because I'm getting angry right now. I'm about to lash out. You know, man, don't nobody want to hear all that. Don't be teaching these young men that kind of stuff. You know, you got this young man that I was training. He had a problem with our supervisor. She's white. And the guy was training him. And he was saying something. I just listened to him. I said, what's your objective? He said, get a job. I said, man, you got to humble yourself. I said, this woman is not talking to you like she's your mother. I said, I'm standing right here. I said, you got to humble yourself. I said, if you don't humble yourself and do what you're supposed to do, I said, you got to be able to take instruction. I don't care who it is, female, male, black, white, Asian, we getting Hispanic stuff. You're going to have to answer to some of them. You know, if you don't want to answer to nobody, I said, this is not the place for you. No place is. No places. You have to humble yourself, man. I say, I've been here almost 17 years. Out of all the supervisors, she's the best supervisor I've ever had. Because she's up front. When we ask her to take something upstairs like we used to ask the other supervisors, on the way up the steps, they lose the paperwork somehow. Like, oh, I when did y'all ask me that? But her, I said, our stuff don't get lost going upstairs. She take it up there and bring us an answer, whether we like that answer or not. I can do what I can do. But it's time for us to break that. And I'm one of the ones, I'm saying, I ain't got time for that. You know, I ain't got time for that nonsense. It's because if you trying to judge an individual, start judging yourself, start judging everybody in your family, start judging your neighborhood, because that kind of stuff is in everybody just about. You know, you have to, that's everywhere. It's all nationality. But, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about that kind of stuff, but I'm willing to talk about it because it don't bother me. You know, I'm open about it. You know, these are just people. This is a person. You know, why you got to identify with color? Why can't it just be that dude or that young lady? You know, that'd be a person. That's all we are, people. You know, we're all from the same mother and from the same father. We are. All of us came from the dirt. Mother Earth, Adam and Eve, and all of us was made by God. So I refer to every last one of them on my job. I don't know if they saved or not. Not because we union. I said, that don't make us union, brothers. This union. I refer to every last one of them, brother. Brother. See you later, brother. God bless you, brother. Brother, 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 brother. Yes. I'm killing them with kindness. I am. I'm killing them. And some of them can't stand it. They see me, they go the other way now. Guy in the dump truck, black guy. He turned around, he like, talk to somebody else. I said, nobody got time for that. This battle don't belong to me. It belongs to God. It's all his. You know, we got to be the very first partakers of this fruit of righteousness. We want everybody else to be right, but we don't want to be right. What brother was teaching this morning. Anybody need prayer? We need to stand in agreement about anything. You want to stand in the gap for somebody, proxy. Remember to keep our pastor. I said our. You know, she ain't mine. I'm trying not to keep her all to myself. Yeah, she's the only pastor I know. And I love my pastor. I do. I love her not in words, but I love her indeed. Yes, I do. So keep her in prayer. I think Jackie was with her this morning. You know, and that's what it's all about. Sometimes people say, well, you got to, well, I can't go. You know, you have to go and be with people sometimes. You can't get to the congregation, you know, and see a person in need. I don't think that's pleasing in God's sight. You know, now everybody ain't got to go. You know, somebody going. Somebody need to go and be there to undergird her and to lift her up. That's what they did with Moses. When Moses sent Joshua and them out there to battle. Moses was holding his hands up. He can hold his hand up so long. Bible said as his hands start going down, Joshua will start losing that battle. He said, I can't hold my hand up, so God, you got to keep your hands up. So Aaron and her, they went and got something and propped them hands up. And as soon as them hands went back up, they start winning that battle. So we got to hold her up. We got to hold her up. Because this battle is not hers, it's not ours, it's the Lord's. And the devil is already defeated. Let God be exalted and the devil be defeated. You know, let it be, because he is what he is. He's defeated and God is exalted. Amen. That's just how it is. Amen. Amen. Let the church say, amen. Amen. So it is and so shall it be. Amen.
Nothing else we're going to dismiss. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as pastor say, my pastor say, I've delivered my soul. I've given God what you have given to me. I've drawn God, oh God, from the scriptures, Lord God, that you've given me. And I pray, Lord God, that this message, oh God, have touched somebody, God, have encouraged somebody to let them know, God, that they ain't got to fight. They need not to fight this battle, but let them learn to stand still and see your salvation, Father. And I pray, Father God, that as we leave this place, God, but never from your presence, I pray, God, that you continue to keep us, Lord. Help us to keep our minds stayed up on you, Lord, until we meet again, Father God. Let us continue, God, to love you first and love on one another. In Jesus' name, and the church say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.